Welcome to the You Can Man podcast, episode 62. I'm Josh.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Dave.
And on this week's episode, kill the mosquitoes yourself.
Welcome back to the You Can Man podcast, where we believe what one man can do, you can do as well, with a little help from your friends and the proper know-how. We're going to give you guys some proper know-how on today's show with how to kill mosquitoes. You can definitely do it yourself, and you don't have to pay, what, 50 bucks a pop or something for that treatment in your yard? Save all kinds of cash. So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Are we killing the skeeters or are we banishing them?
Well, we're killing and banishing.
We're going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about it.
All inclusive.
All right.
Okay, guys, what's been going on?
Boys, I finally replaced my mailbox.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize how bad it was until I replaced it. And I looked at my new mailbox and I was like, my gosh, that looks way better. It was embarrassing. Like, it looked so bad.
You use that stake in the ground method, right?
Well, that's what I want to talk about. Okay, so I use the big nail that goes...
The old one.
Yeah.
The old one.
And the reason I did that is because when I bought my house, it was a flip done by a shady contractor who obviously didn't put in a mailbox, because why would you?
You said shady, right?
Yeah.
Okay, shady.
And so we had to get a mailbox, you know, like stat, yeah, right? And so I went with the quickest method. You go to one of your big box stores and you buy this spike that you drive into the ground, and it has a piece on top that accepts a mailbox post
anchor.
Yeah, a post, right. So I installed that thing. It was really quick and it did its job for 5 years. But the old mailbox was leaning, it was listing, and it didn't look good. So I pulled the mailbox post out. That was really simple. And then I reached down and I grabbed the big nail in the ground and I started pulling, and I realized very quickly, this is not...
It was in there.
Oh, it was in there, mm-hmm, and it wasn't coming out without a fight. And so, yeah, a lot of swearing and a lot of digging and a lot of backbreaking. It took a long time to get that thing out of there. I want to give a public service announcement and say, do not use one of those, because if you ever have to remove it, you're going to hate your life. It was a huge, huge pain. Finally got it out of there, dug it up, a little bit of brute force, and it's out. And so I, you know, used concrete, put a new post in, looks fantastic. And yeah, that thing ain't moving for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah. Dave sent me a picture of the mailbox, and my first thought was, is classic.
That's what you said.
Like, you got the letters. That's like,
yeah. Well, so
the numbers,
I reused those, and I repurposed. I didn't repurpose them. I freshened them up, right? Because they weren't looking good either. So I hit those with some
black spray paint.
Black spray paint, and they look a lot better. But yeah, you said a classy mailbox, and I appreciated that.
It was. It looked nice and clean.
Anyway, so that was my weekend. Took a long time.
And if you're a new listener to the show and you're just wondering, man, I wish they would do a whole episode on just mailboxes.
Well, you're in luck.
You are definitely in luck, because it was episode number 47, Mailboxes, Etc. So
that was a pretty popular one too. It got some traction on the groups.
It was.
Because I think it is. It's one of those things where you know it's a fairly quick job, and in your mind you want to say, I can knock this out this afternoon. That is not true. If you want to do it the right way.
With the big nail, you can.
Yeah. If you want to do it the right way, give yourself a weekend of a couple hours here and there. Like, you're not going to knock it all out in one shot.
Yeah, the actual putting it in the ground goes relatively quickly. You know, that's a couple hours, but you got to get a post, you got to paint it. Yeah, I mean, you have to prime it, you have to paint it. So there is a little bit of a process involved. But yeah, you're right. You want to carve out maybe a weekend to get it done.
Yeah. All right. So something just happened to me that I'm going to give a follow up on. I took the laundry out, like, literally before I walked over to this podcast. Took my laundry out. All my, like, workout clothes.
Josh lives across the street.
Yeah. All my workout clothes. Washed them. Moving them from the washer to the dryer. And my AirPods fall onto the floor.
Oh!
And so, you know, you just assume the worst. So I find the pair. Go upstairs. Put them in their little charger thing, open the charger thing up, the display comes up on my phone, which made me feel good, and then I put the earbuds, AirPods in my ears. These are the fully wireless, if you don't know what we're talking about, the fully wireless Apple brand earbuds. And they worked. Like they had normal? Just run through the washer, not well, the dryer yet.
Yeah, but they're designed to take all that sweat.
I guess they are.
But I don't think they're technically waterproof. I think they can...
washed.
They can accept a little bit of... I mean, clearly they're good to go.
They got washed with detergent. Now, as a precaution... And I shook them and like I couldn't hear any... I didn't even see any water. Like it ran through the spin cycle or whatever. But I threw them in the standard bag of rice, like a little bag of rice. Okay. Just to do it, I'm going to test it again. I mean, I love those things. I always made fun when they first came out. I was like, I'm not going to be that guy ever. And then my mom got me some for my birthday or Christmas. And I was like, all right, I'll try them. They're amazing. I love them. I've been using them for like 2 years solid. No issues. I really hope they're not broken.
I think you'll probably be good. I did that one time with a watch where it went through the washer and then the dryer. And all that happened was it came out really clean and really warm. I was very surprised. So I think things are a little bit more resilient.
I hope
you.
So.
Yeah, okay. So. Well, I guess we could talk about my running, the more drama, and then drama happening on the Facebook group too, because I posted one of my runs. I was like, look, guys, check it out, because I've been touting that I can do a sub 7 minute mile. And then we basically just go back and forth on a text thread with me, Dave, and Josh here. And we basically came to the conclusion we got to go to a track. Yeah. So I haven't done that yet.
Facebook didn't take your post down for posting fake news.
Uh-huh. So. Right. So, but Josh calculated my run, and it came out to a pace of 7 minutes, 8 seconds.
7:08.
Is that right?
Yes.
And that was on
Is quick.
That was on 2 miles.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that I for sure could run at least 1 mile. Because see,
definitely, I bet you can do it.
Definitely.
Yes. I think in order to prove it though, I feel like I got to run more than 1 mile. To be able to say sub seven.
It's a mile.
No, and I also, a mile's a mile.
The more we talk about it, I kind of feel like this needs to be a race.
Yeah. I always, every time we talk about this, the caveat, I mean, every post I ever send or every text I ever send, I'm like, it's not as fast as you think, as your app says it is.
Yeah, Josh is the
killjoy.
But it is
still fast. But I always say it is still fast. And then I always also say, I am not fast. Just to put that out there. But this is going to turn into some kind of foot race. I can feel it.
Okay. Well, I can say for sure that I am definitely consistently doing under 8 minute miles.
Yeah.
Even distances up to, I think, 6 miles.
That's impressive.
That. Yeah, for a, you know, a quote unquote non-runner, okay, for all the years of your life.
I literally do not believe that I'm a runner. I don't think I'm a runner. I really don't. I don't think I'm a runner at all.
Well, to be a runner, I don't know what the definition is, but like 3 days a week, like minimum, I feel like that's like a runner's lifestyle.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Maybe you're a runner.
So anyways, we may make it into some kind of thing. And there was even somebody that left a comment on the Facebook group about making into some, I don't know what she was
like
saying.
Like a fundraiser.
Yeah, fundraiser. Like watch Tim do a sub. I don't know. That seems kind of weird. But
once the UKMN Army pledges $10,000, then we'll do it.
Yeah. Okay. But we seriously might do something like that. So stay tuned.
We'll have a video in some form or fashion.
Oh, yeah, we've got to. I mean, maybe I'll puke, you know, who knows?
Hopefully.
I don't know. I'm really interested to see what I can do.
If you would just get a watch, this would all go away.
Yeah. That's what we always say is, Tim, just get a GPS watch.
Okay, listen. My wife actually
that's
said...
That's the fundraiser that we're going to do.
There you go.
It's Tim's watch.
Well, I guess she listened to our podcast on running. We all kind of talked about how much weight we lost. And so she said, you should talk about how you lost all the weight and didn't spend any money.
Oh.
That's a good point. All you did was buy shoes. And you weren't even going to do that, right?
Yeah. I mean, had I not trashed my feet...
This could be a joint effort on the How to Money podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. That is right. Yes. Our good friends run the How to Money podcast. You should check it out. But she's completely right, because I'm kind of cheap. And I didn't really spend any money. We already had a gym membership that I wasn't utilizing, but my wife was. So I was already in that. So we were already paying for that. So it wasn't an additional
net
cost.
Net zero.
I have shoes, and I have one pair of running shorts. Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
Do you run in like a cotton shirt?
Yes.
Dude, just a t-shirt.
He's old school, man. He is old school.
this morning I ran in a V-neck, just like
you're like an 80-year-old man.
Yes, Hanes undershirt.
Man, you don't chafe.
No,
I don't chafe either.
I've never chafed, but
I have not gotten the nip.
I think you have to get up into the half marathon distance. Like, for that to really,
I would be very disappointed if I started bleeding at any point in time.
And I have a little pouch, like a little fanny pack thing that my wife wasn't using, that I used to put my phone in. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that's been a Josh and I, we've been debating, like, does he like carry his phone with him, like in his hand?
That's I'm glad you answered that.
Is it bouncing around in his pocket? Yeah.
No, I've got a little fanny pack thing, and I tuck it in the back of my shorts so you don't ever see it really.
It's got a good flip belt, it's just everybody.
Stealth. Anyways, okay, enough of all that. Yeah, I feel like we should probably do like another. We will do other episodes on like fitness and stuff.
Sure. I think we're the fittest people we know.
Yeah, but we need to get actual fitness experts. And so I would like to do that because we sitting around this table are definitely not that. Okay. Killing mosquitoes. Okay.
Is there a place in the country that doesn't have to deal with some kind of bug, like just crazy, like annoying bugs in the summer? Man,
I tell you what, when I visit my buddy Josh,
I was about to say, what about Southern California?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's pockets where there's, you know, gnats and that sort of thing. But I've only gone out to his house twice for, I don't know, 10 days at a time or something like that. And man, there's just like no bugs.
Talking about like in June in the evening. Like that is the, it's the,
you're I
like,
hadn't been there then.
You can enjoy being outside because in Georgia, like, you know, 8 o'clock-ish when the sun's pretty much down and the heat has turned off a little bit. But then you got the bugs.
Yeah,
you got the mosquitoes are like, hey, this is our hour. You got
the
moths
and the gnats.
I would say probably in the desert, like any sort of desert climate, you probably don't have a ton of
scorpions though.
Oh, yeah. You got all kinds of other
tarantulas,
stuff. I'm just saying
snakes.
Some like gnats or mosquitoes. I don't think you have to deal with that there, but I don't know. Yeah. Guys, chime in. Let us know. I don't really know. All we know is Georgia because that's just where we've born and raised. Right. And we've got tons of mosquitoes.
We eat bugs if we go outside.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I would really want to know the definitive answer behind why mosquitoes are attracted to different people. Yeah. Different
blood
ways.
Type.
See,
I read that.
But I don't know if that's conclusive.
It's not conclusive. There's a great YouTube video. I think Mark Rober on YouTube did a video on it. Nope, it wasn't Mark Rober. It was Veritasium. Anyway, they did that test on the blood typing between like he and his wife, I think.
They couldn't prove it?
They went to a school of a professor who studied this stuff. And the tests they were running, yes, like they trended towards his wife and not toward him, or the other way around.
So it is true.
In the tests they were running, it was proving that out. But even the guy who studies it was like, it's not definitive, but.
Well, there are some people, like my wife, she has a lot of like mosquitoes are all over her, but I'm out there and I have no problem.
That's the same way
I am. I don't know
what that is. My wife, they're all attracted to her. And also one of my daughters.
It's because girls are sweet.
I know. That's actually what I tell her. But anyways, so that is weird because, you know, I'm like, I'm fine. And then my wife will be like, can you please spray? Because I just can't even go outside. So, okay. So a few years back, this is what kind of got me started. I feel like I got to give a backstory. I started doing my own pest control. Just bugs around the house. So I do exterior, I got interior stuff. All of this information is at youcanman.com/pest. So you can check all this information out.
Beautiful article.
And so we're not going to be quoting a ton of like specifics really, because you can just go there and click on the links and you'll be able to find the products that we're mentioning. But part of my do-it-yourself pest control journey, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go all out and I'm going to do mosquito control as well. Now, in order to do professional grade mosquito control, I really feel like you've got to have the backpack blower.
I'd agree.
A motorized backpack
blower. Backpack blower. So I have this Stihl, STIHL, the brand, SR200. So it's essentially a backpack blower with a tank on it, with a hose that just terminates at the blower part and blasts whatever you got in the tank. So What I'm using is bifenthrin is the name of the chemical, the pesticide that I'm using. You'll see it by a couple different name brands, but the kind of generic, well, I don't know if it's generic. I use Bifen IT. So you can, again, go to ukman.com/pest and click the link and you'll be able to find this as well. But that is what the professional mosquito control companies use. And in fact, I had a friend who hired somebody and I said, hey, would you mind asking the guy when he comes with the backpack blower sprayer thing, hey, what are you spraying in my yard? Like, I want to know the actual chemical. And sure enough, it was bifenthrin.
So where are you spraying? Like when you're spraying for mosquitoes, what are you hitting around your yard?
Okay. So you want to hit the grass. That's a given. But really, you want to hit the dense vegetation. So, and up underneath the leaves, and then also tree trunks as well. But really, in the heat of the day, the mosquitoes are kind of congregating in underside of the leaves and stuff like that, you know, because they come out early morning or late in the evening mm-hmm. when it's, you know, not direct sun and stuff usually. So I guess number one thing is the dense vegetation that you have, right? And basically just blast everything. Now, there are some caveats. Let's just go ahead and throw this out here because I know if we...
There are people yelling.
Yeah. Okay. So we want to make sure that we use this caveat. Bifenthrin can cause collateral damage on things such as honeybees. So if at any point in time you've got things blooming in your yard, avoid those things altogether. Okay, so you're not going to completely eliminate the possibility of harming a honeybee, but you're going to significantly reduce it because honeybees obviously are mostly going to things that are blooming. So if you got anything blooming at any point in time during spring, summer, do not hit those areas
and
hit other areas. So it's kind of one of those trade-off things. It's like, yes, do any of us...
Do we like food or do we really hate mosquitoes?
Yeah, but what you have to take into consideration is this is a very localized thing. Not everybody is blasting their yard with bifenthrin, so it's a very localized thing. What are we talking? Most people have no more than a half-acre lot, usually. And I don't know. It's like... Do you want your kids to get bit by the mosquitoes and have, you know, diseases potentially transmitted? I say very much potentially because those whole things are like way out of proportion. Like the whole, what was it? Zika, all that, whatever. Don't worry about that. That's not a concern. However, when they do get bit and they start itching them and they get infected, that's really more so the thing. So if you've got a kid that is really susceptible to those mosquito bites and they cannot control them itching it and they just, I mean, I have a friend like that, his son, and he gets infections from these mosquito bites. And so it's one of those things you've got to kind of weigh, what do I value more and whatever. So
if it's on your mind, avoid the blooms. That's step one. Or like maybe just... That time of year, don't spray your yard.
Right. Now, we do have some other methods that Dave is going to talk about. I think he's just going to throw out a couple plants that are more of a repellent for mosquitoes.
So what you mentioned is just like the let's go to war with the mosquitoes.
Yeah,
we're going to backpack blower.
That's the most effective way is to blast. I mean, you want to blast up into the trees. You know, like this blower can reach like 20 plus feet up into the trees. So you're blasting everything. Now you don't have to do that. Like you can get a backpack, just regular pump sprayer, and that will be pretty effective. Like you can hit hit some of the stuff that you can reach.
Maybe if there's only one area of your yard that you go out in, like a back patio or something.
Yeah.
Like the rest of the yard is not really used. You could isolate that
area. And in fact, I will say this. So I did a photography job for a local pest control company and they actually changed their stance on mosquito control and stopped using the backpack blowers because they just decided they couldn't rely upon their technicians to really limit where they're blasting that. And so I think it was a situation where maybe they're blasting it over into like neighbors' yards and they're like, what are you blasting over here on my yard? So they switched to more of a backpack pump sprayer. and then are hitting more of like just the yard and the trunks of trees. And so, you know, they're doing that as a service and
people are paying it.
People are paying it. And so that it's got to be pretty effective. And actually, I take that back. They didn't use backpack pump sprayers. They actually hooked it up to a hose running from their truck. And anyway, not okay. that matters, but.
So how often do you do the backpack spray thing?
Okay. So if it's not raining a whole lot, I'm going to say it can last like 3 weeks.
Okay.
But if you're having heavy rainfall, then you kind of need to do it every 2 weeks if you want it to be really effective. Mm. But I mean, you could go as much as a month, really. Again, if you're hitting the underside of the leaves, then, well, hopefully
it's pretty protected.
It's protected, right? And this stuff is, it's not rain fast. Like if you, it's going to wash off. It's not, it doesn't have like the, what is that term? Whatever term they use, stuff to stick to stuff. It is not this, right? So about 3 weeks, I would say.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So Dave's going to give us, aside from the actual, you know, going on the attack, this is a little more passive way to
more of a natural remedy, right? And let me just wrap this up real quick because I forgot to mention the cost of this. So the backpack blower that I mentioned, Steel SR200 industry standard.
It's an investment.
It's over $400. Woo. However, if you're the type of person that's going to pay all summer long, you've got that thing paid for. You literally have got that thing paid for because I think those treatments can run anywhere, $50 to maybe even $70, depending on the size of your lot. So anyways, maybe you could go in together with a buddy, you know.
Mm. Or the if you use a pump backpack sprayer, those are, you know, $100 or less. So you can pick up one of those.
For sure. All right. So Dave is going to talk about some plants that will repel mosquitoes. So if you don't want to use the chemical route and that sort of thing. And also, sorry, what we really should have started with is more the things, passive things to prevent mosquitoes.
Things like you want to do first.
Dumping water.
Yeah, get rid of standing water.
Yeah, you would not believe the amount of just standing water that could be in your yard. And mosquitoes need a very, very little bit of water. I'm talking like they can breed if there's a leaf that is turned upside down or whatever, and mm-hmm. it collects water, they can breed in that. And so you really want to make sure that any kind of containers, if you got some random old tires,
some tarps,
I've got some
gutter drain, like drains, in-ground drains that yes. water can sit in. And I've read, fill them up with gravel.
There you go.
So that any Boom. Water that sits in the bottom is yeah, not
so
exposed.
Step one, before we talk about anything, we should have said,
Dump that water.
Okay, Dave, go. Plants.
All right, so a couple of plants, the two big ones. Number one, citronella. Okay, so we all know citronella candles, right? Well, there's a citronella plant. It's the most common natural ingredient used in formulating mosquito repellents, and it gives off a distinctive smell, right? And that smell doesn't repel, as I understand it, doesn't repel the mosquitoes. It masks other attractants to mosquitoes. Okay. Right. So it masks other smells and it's a pretty pungent smell. So it's harder for them to find you. And the living plant is actually more effective because it has such a strong smell. So if you can plant, I believe it's a grass. It's a perennial clump. Actually, clumping grass grows up to about 5 or 6 feet, but you can plant it in the background of flowers and things like that. To kind of give off that scent and repel those mosquitoes.
Okay, so that's something you got to plan. I mean, you can't just...
You do need a plan for it.
Yeah, I'm not going to just go out of my yard and plant some citronella plants. Like, it's kind of like part of the landscape design.
It is, and they do sell it at local potting stores, Pike Nurseries, places like that.
Okay, all right.
Another one is, I've never heard of this one, horse mint. Also known as bee balm, is another aromatic plant that gives off a very strong incense-like odor and confuses the mosquitoes by masking the smell of its usual hosts.
Okay, so it seems like maybe that's a myth then or a misnomer of things that are going to repel it. It's just really masking.
It's masking the smells
masking
of
your smell.
Yeah, it's masking your smell or your wife's smell.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yep. And aren't a lot of mosquitoes and bees and things like attracted to the actual carbon dioxide that
see, that's what I was thinking when we were talking about blood type, because I've also heard that it's the amount of carbon dioxide that you're emitting.
I know that's true for bees, I believe. Like, I think I've seen demonstrations of that. Like a guy in a bee suit breathing through a tube, and he's dragging the tube like 10 feet behind him, and like the bees would go over to the tube.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
All right. So the one quick thing we mentioned, like getting rid of water if you can, but sometimes you have water that doesn't go away. Like you maybe have a bird feeder, or you have a little pond, or people out in the country, if you have a horse, you've got like horse troughs and just water that stands that, you know, you can't dump it out.
Or you've got a neighbor that doesn't take care of their pool, and then they just leave it there and decide not to open it that summer. Yeah. And it's just full of water.
Tim,
and
it sounds like you're speaking from experience.
Dude, my parents in their neighborhood, same. The house got foreclosed on. Mm. And they just had an old pool back there.
And it's just sitting there, just like sitting stewing. There.
Yeah.
Wow. So if you have these, and or yeah, if no one's living there and you can jump the fence to the pool, there is a mosquito control that can be put into these bodies of water. That's actually a bacterial insecticide, and it's called BTI for short. I'm not even going to try to attempt read the words that BTI stands for. It's very sciencey and Latin probably. But this bacterium is highly specific to mosquito and black fly larva. So it eliminates those two things, but is not harmful for fish or for any animals that are drinking out of this water.
Okay.
So it's safe for your cats and dogs if they, you know, go have a hit off the you know, bird feeder.
What about
the
children? Pond or like my kids go out and they drink standing water.
Wow.
In the yard.
You've got more problems than mosquito. Yeah, I'm guessing it's harmless for kids, or at least it's not going to knock them down. One thing that's interesting is you can put, I think, like drops or tablets, or it comes in different forms. But one form is like a cake, like a little patty. And you want to, they mentioned this specifically for horse troughs. I think that's interesting. My brother lives in Kentucky on a farm. Well, his wife's family has a farm. Anyway, if you've got those, you can throw those tablets in. You just got to make sure you sink them so that the horses can't actually get to them. But it's that safe. Like you drop it straight into a horse trough. And horses are fine. No mosquitoes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, good. So we heard what the pros do with the backpack blower that I do. And Josh lives across the street from me, so I do his yard too. Dave, I can come do your yard too.
Yeah, you haven't done my yard.
So... anyhow, so you got that. If you're really serious about this and you're the one that's going to pay all summer long for a service to do this, you can do this yourself. Okay. Yep. Now, you're supposed to have a license, really, to spray it at other people's yards. So maybe I shouldn't have just broadcast that I actually spray at Josh's yard. But it's kind of like an extension of my yard, I guess.
You owned his house at one time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You wandered over there.
Yeah. You know, it's just... it's the sprayer is just so powerful, it just blasts over there.
You will not be coming over to my house because I'm not going to be in any violation of any laws.
That's right.
Well, also, I actually have heard like you can't spray at somebody's house and like charge for it or something like that.
That
so I'm not
sense.
Charging you. No. Actually, Josh makes a donation to a nonprofit that we support whenever I do it. So that's nice. Anyhow,
no money is exchanged directly.
No money is exchanged by doing that. Yeah. So. But you could go in with a buddy and then he could spray his own yard. I guess technically that'd be fine.
Yeah, it's part of that blower.
But everything that the professional company does, you can do yourself.
Yep. And check out that blog. Like I jokingly say it's a beautiful blog, but it's like it's one of the most popular. It's
ucanman.com/pest.
Super popular. Yeah. Tons of people use that. So go there. It has all the pest control stuff, not just mosquito stuff. It'll save you a ton of money.
Maybe I need to add because I didn't actually have this stuff about dropping in the standing water. I don't have that. I should probably add that
to update it.
And the plants. I didn't actually do the plants. So I could probably add that as well.
Make it even more robust.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, if you guys have any other tips or tricks about mosquito control, you guys should check out our Facebook group page and make a post on it. If you've had some success with maybe some other plants that we didn't mention or any sort of other products that work really, really well, let us know.
The Facebook group is totally humming along. Like
yes.
It's kind of everything we dreamed about is like now all of these guys that they're either like current professionals in a certain industry, or they've done, you know, they've had a business that did this before, different types of contractors, landscapers, like everyone's chiming in, helping each other out. And it's just an awesome place. Like people can just drop in and say, hey, I've got this project. I saw we had a, someone's dog had been, peeing on the floor in a certain area. Yeah. And like, he's just like, hey, look what my dog did. How do I fix this? Like, what's the best way to fix this?
We I wouldn't know. All over it. Yeah, I wouldn't know. And people had all these suggestions. I was like, oh, I would never have thought about that.
It's a fantastic resource. Check it out.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hey, take some time. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help other people find the show. We'll catch you guys next time.